Hi, this is Allison Gingras, host of A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras, your on-air book club. A Seeking Heart features daily live discussions, weekly giveaways, and author interviews. We don't just review books, we share them, and you're invited to participate by calling in or posting your comments on social media. The best part, no reading necessary. I got you covered. Please visit A Seeking Heart show page on breadboxmedia.com for showtimes and featured books. Welcome to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. We're wrapping up our very special week dedicated to the book, the new book, The Catholic Mom's Prayer Companion, a book of daily reflections out now from Ave Maria Press, of which I am so honored to be a co-author, and I've enjoyed getting to talk with some of my co-authors. Today, we're going to be talking with Colleen Duggan and Roxanne Solonen, whose name I probably just completely murdered because that's what I do, but she'll be here the second half and she can set me straight. But first, let's spend some time with Colleen Duggan. Welcome, Colleen.
Thank you so much for having me, Allison. It's a pleasure.
It's so much fun this week is hearing the voices of the bloggers I've been reading for so long. And you all kind of do sound exactly the way I expected you to. So I guess that shows that you do a really good job at putting your voice into your writing.
Oh, that is so kind. That is so kind. Voice is so important as a writer, they keep telling me. So
I understand that because I pretend to be a writer now and then.
No, you are. There's no pretending.
You're sweet. So tell us, Colleen, a little bit about yourself.
Well, I am a wife and a mom to six children, and I began blogging a long time ago, like 9 years ago, maybe now.
Wow.
8 or 9 years ago. And it started just as a little side project. I had three kids under the age of three. And so I thought I could start a blog.
Because you had nothing else to do.
Here's the thing. I loved being a stay-at-home mom, but it was a real challenge for me identity wise because I had worked full time and had been in graduate school. And so all of a sudden I had all these little babies and I felt like I was thrilled to be home with them. It was harder than anything I'd ever done before in my entire life, but I really, really, really needed some kind of outlet. And I was always involved in church ministry. And so, I don't know why I thought blogging would be a natural outreach from there, but I did. So I just started telling little funny stories online. And then I started reading writing books. And then I started developing essays. And I sent one of those essays to what was then Faith and Family. I don't know if you remember that blog, but Faith and Family website.
Danielle Bean. Magazine too.
That's right. And the magazine. And I sent it a long time ago and it got accepted. And I was like, I couldn't believe it. I thought, oh my gosh, they are going to pay me now to do this.
That's fun.
So that's how it started. So I now have a website that I've been writing on for, you know, a long, long time. And I would not recommend going back to that early entries. They're not very good.
Because you know now we're all going to go back to those early entries, Colleen. You've just completely enticed us. What is the name of your blog?
Well, right now it is ColleenDuggan.net, but my dear friend Rhonda Ortiz has overhauled my website professionally. And eventually, like maybe in the next week or two, it'll be ColleenMurphyDuggan.com. But right now, just go to ColleenDuggan.net because I like to complicate things.
Yes. Well, I will put the link to that.
Thank you.
Everybody can find it nice and easy. So how did you become connected with CatholicMom.com? Do you contribute there or was it just to the
book? I did for a long time. Mm-hmm. And Lisa and I actually have met and corresponded online. And she's wonderful. And when I first started writing, for Faith and Family Live. And then I reached out to Lisa and asked her if she would be willing to take some contributions from me. And she was so gracious and did. And so I wrote for them for a really long time. And as I did that, my family continued to grow. And so over time, I was always kind of submitting to other places as well. So mm-hmm. it came to a point where I really had to cut back on my online submissions because it was just, it was time consuming.
Yeah.
So,
which reminds me, my Catholic mom is due this afternoon. So hopefully Barb will be patient with me. And that Lisa, by the way, would be Lisa Hendy. She's the founder of CatholicMom.com. And she was my guest on Tuesday. And she's also the co-editor of this and co-author of this week's featured book, The Catholic Mom's Prayer Companion, out now from Ave Maria. So press. There's more there.
Yes, there is.
I didn't write down the word press, so that's why it's not coming out of my mouth. So what I've been asking, Colleen, this the same question to all my guests this week is about our own prayer life. What does your daily prayer life look like? And I know it evolves. Everybody's prayer life evolves. But right now, what does it look like?
It does. And for an overwhelmed parent, you know, in the trenches, this probably would not be able to be something applicable to your life, what I'm about to say. But my baby right now, I have six kids, but my baby is almost three. So, I'm in a totally different state than I was even just a year ago with little ones up in the middle of the night all night long. But my most important prayer that I do is in the morning, Lectio Divina. I do the scripture reading. And I've been working with this wonderful priest who I love so much for the last couple years. And he has been very patiently guiding me through the proper steps of, doing the gospel reading and reflecting on it. So I spend a lot of time in the morning, as much time as I can before everyone gets up, when it's all dark outside still, praying the scriptures. That's what I do.
That's beautiful. I'm the same way. I was never a morning person until the Lord sent me Faith. My daughter is adopted from China and she's profoundly deaf. So for 5 years, I homeschooled her. And then I realized, but we got to a point where she really needed not just education, but she needed a community because the deaf are more than just, it's not a disability.
Sure.
It's actually a cultural thing. It's beautiful. It's absolutely
yeah.
beautiful. So she needed to be with the deaf. So I found this amazing school for the deaf. It's 40 minutes from the house, but she loves the car. So she's like, and there's another little girl on the bus with her named Faith. Hello. How does that happen?
And
they're the
beautiful.
Same age. Isn't that crazy? God is so crazy.
Really good. Really, really good.
So amazing. But she gets on the bus at 6 a.m. So I went from going to bed at 3 a.m. to somebody who used to be a night prayer person. And now I'm very much a morning person. But
yeah.
You mentioned Lectio Divina. Now that's something that it's one of those buzzwords that we hear in the Catholic faith. Can you explain a little bit of what that is if someone's never heard it before?
Yes. Now I am no theologian, so, take this, but from what I understand, it's, taking a prayer passage, from the scriptures. I use the New Testament, but I don't think it's just the New Testament that you have to use.
No, you can use
any.
you can actually
the word of God.
You can actually do it also with spiritual reading. You could do it with the Catholic Mom's Prayer Companion. You could do this in the same kind of manner.
Absolutely.
But go on.
So, that's okay. And so then you read the scripture passage. And the thing my priest always tells me is, you want to go where the emotion is, right? Mm-hmm. So if there's a phrase or a passage that jumps out at you, maybe jot it down, but you read the passage and you think about it, and there's stages. So there's kind of a wondering stage, like, what is this passage telling me about? And actually there's four different ones, and they're in Latin. And all I can remember is the fourth one is contemplatio. There's the meditation part.
Yeah. Let's go with English, 'cause I'm not good with Latin.
But it's like you read it and then I know me neither, clearly, 'cause I can't even remember the four
good.
Stages.
He's
going to be totally unimpressed with me, my priest. but basically you want to get to, I guess maybe the great saints were able to enter into total contemplation over the passage, but that you're meditating on the word of God and that God is speaking to you through the scriptures. And it is really a life-changing way of praying because there's so much noise in my world. I'm distracted by technology and I have a loud family and I'm loud. Yeah. And so, and I mean, like, I feel like I have developed an, you know, late in life case of attention deficit disorder because of my technological device firmly attached to me at all times. So just the quiet, having the quiet time to really pray over those scripture passages and God and Jesus speaks to me through them. He lets me know, I'm surprised actually how little condemnation he offers, but how much encouragement, you know, that you're doing a good job, stay the course, try hard, trust in me more. You know, it's not all up to you. I'm the miracle maker here. So that has been a great gift to me to have that morning time. So those are the main things. But then the other thing I also am inconsistent with, but I think is equally important, is the exam of conscience at the end of the evening.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the two ways.
Well, that's great. Those are some great examples. And for anyone who's trying to figure out, like, where do I figure out prayer? I think what the examples that we've gotten this week as we talk about the Catholic Moms Prayer Companion is that there's no right way or wrong way to do. I think sometimes we get wrapped up in, the best way to do something. It's like one of the things about the Catholic faith that I love the most is how much it has to offer. There is the rosary. There is this spiritual reading. There's Lectio Divina. There's the scriptures. There's the Psalms, which are obviously in the scriptures. But there's also these wonderful books that we can pick up, like this Daily Reflection, the Catholic Mom's Prayer Companion. And I love that it has the word companion, because that's what it's meant to be. You know, it's meant to be our guide that morning when we wake up and we don't feel like praying. It's like, okay, I don't want to pray. Let me just read. And then that becomes my prayer. And that's nothing wrong. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. When we come back from these messages, we're going to continue with Colleen Duggan, and we're going to look at some of her reflections here in the Catholic Mom's Prayer Companion. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Please stay tuned.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. We are featuring a new book this week, The Catholic Mom's Prayer Companion, out now from Ave Maria Press. I am so honored to be a contributor to this book, making me a published author. How cool is that? And this week we've been sharing the spotlight with some of the other co-authors and now published authors, including my guest this morning, Colleen Duggan. And you can find more of Colleen's wonderful writing over on ColleenDuggan.net. So Colleen, speaking of your wonderful writing, let's look a little bit at some of your contributions. The first one happens to be in January, and you introduce us to Saint Sebastian. And I'm really just going to read real quickly here this great, powerful quote you start off your reflection with from Saint Sebastian. It says, "The devil strains every nerve to secure the souls that belong to Christ. We should not grudge our toil in wrestling them from Satan and giving them back to God." Wow. And this reflection is about, you know, kind of developing self-control and learning how to tell ourselves no, and the importance of that skill. I'm not really good at that skill, Colleen.
Oh,
not at all.
Me neither. Me neither. I really want to be, and I have to say, my six children have really helped me develop a little bit more. I don't know what the word is. It's not a palette for self-denial, but it's more experience of it on the daily. Let's put it that way.
In fact, I've been talking all week about how this is September 1st today, which is, you know, the meteorological autumn, fall. And
that's
for me, this is more of a reset time. Like, there's school starting, the lazy days of summer are behind us. I feel like this is more of that, like, new year.
New year. I just wrote about this in an article. Yes.
No way.
Yes, I did. Yes. Yes.
Well, there is a blog link up. I'm going to have to send you the link to it over on Deanna Bartolini's. I messed up her name, too. And I know her personally. I'm so bad with last names. Dear Lord, help me. Anyway, we decided that it would be really fun to talk about how this is such a reset. And those things for me. So there's a link up for all of these September 1st, what we're resetting. I'll have to send you the link to that and put in the show notes because I think people would enjoy it. But for me, like, this reset is so hard. Like, for instance, I'm on Weight Watchers, so I'm trying to learn the self-control of saying yes to good things. And I think that's part of that message, that self-control is not saying no to everything, but saying yes to the good things that God has
right
for us.
Yeah, it is so hard.
Yeah,
it's, I just can commiserate, especially with diet and exercise. I really do. But you know what? Also, I don't know about you, but holding my tongue is a really something I struggle with too.
Yeah.
You know, it dawned on me recently that there are some people who, when they go to confession, they have to confess the bad thoughts that they have. And I'm not saying I never have bad thoughts, but they don't stay in my brain long enough before they come out of my mouth. So, I mean, what a novel concept to have to confess, oh I have bad thoughts. Well, everyone knows what my bad thoughts are. So I'm constantly having to confess that.
You know,
my lack of self-control with my tongue.
That's too funny. St. James, love St. James. You gotta read
yes,
that. I'm sure you've read.
Oh, it's been given to me as a penance in the confessional. Are you kidding me?
That's awesome. St. James says that the tongue is like a spark that can light a fire that can take down a whole forest.
Yes.
It's like the most powerful weapon. Yes, it's scary. But me, I kind of justify it and say, oh, I'm not going to talk about that with everybody. I'll just talk to my husband about it.
Me too.
It's really it's still the same thing.
Still the same. It's still the same. And even like, yes, not using names, but talking about the person who, it's not good. It's all gossip, right?
It is. And my friend just became a priest and he's been teaching me so much about confession. And one of the words he taught me was this word called detraction, which is when it's the truth, but it doesn't need to be said.
Yes. Yeah. Like,
Yeah, that's not a good thing.
But it's a huge thing of self-control or a lack of self-control for me anyway. I mean, I really do pray about that. And I go to regular confession to try to help. But self-control is definitely something that I work on all the time. And I sometimes get depressed because I feel like I have as much self-control as my toddler does sometimes.
I think we're all in that same boat. The next reflection I wanted to look at was April 17th, where I love the title of this one, Prayer Time at the Family Zoo. And we talked with Sarah Dom and Jeff Young yesterday, and we all talked about the praying with our families and how difficult that can be. And in my family, honestly, we never mastered it.
It's so hard. It is so hard.
And so how does your family pray together?
It's so funny. It is a zoo. And I have to be honest, we have seasons where we're much better than we are. In fact, my husband and I just had a meeting together, just the two of us, to kind of reconvene on what the family prayer was going to look like for the fall because of the new school year and everything. And so we're putting it on the calendar, but we have not actually implemented it yet.
It's September 1st. You have plenty of time. You have until at least October 1st.
Well, our new resolution, we have a split because I have older kids. I have three, like two in middle school and then one that is inching her way closer to that age and then three little guys.
Oh, wow.
And so what I've really noticed with my older kids is that before we used to do the family rosary as kind of like, it's not that I thought it was cute, but it wasn't as imperative. But now that my kids are getting older, I really see that regular confession is super necessary for all of us. And so our goal has been to be more regular in confession. And we even have it scheduled so that we know when we're going, and hopefully every 2 weeks if we can do that. We've been okay so far. And then the other thing that we've been doing, or that is our plan for the fall, is my husband is really wanting to do like a pilgrimage, a quarterly pilgrimage to like a basilica or a shrine that's close by, not anything too far away or too taxing.
I love that idea.
Yeah, it was all his idea. And I think it's a great idea too, because it's like a family event and an experience. And we've done them in the past and my kids never forget them. We went to St. Maria Goretti's traveling. I don't know if you remember, she was here last year.
Powerful. Yeah, she was in Boston and I went with my friend. One of the most powerful experiences of my life.
Absolutely. And my kids are still talking about it. In fact, my daughter came home and she was visiting her friend who is Protestant, and over the lunch table gave her the whole spiel about St. Maria Goretti. And her mom texted me.
Authentic like, witness.
Yeah. I mean, she was just so on fire with the story. So the trips, you know, the family pilgrimages have been really a positive thing for us. And then the third thing, again, that is our goal for this fall is like a small visit, maybe on a Friday with some of the older kids, not a long visit. We can't do an hour, but maybe like,
yeah,
you know, just a visit, however long we make it for. So that is, I do my own prayer. My husband does his prayer and we have the kids reading their little Bibles in the morning. Mm-hmm. And that's really independent on them. I don't micromanage that, but we would like to incorporate some more family things than we do. So I might not be the best example of family prayer.
Well, I think you are the best example because you exemplify that there's that heart and that desire to do these things. And the Lord just will grace that alone and be thrilled to death with that. And then I think he will give you the graces to do what we need to do. I think that's part of the struggle is that we look at these great saints, we look at the exemplary, and we think, oh, I need to do all of the best of everything and I need to get it all in. This is how I start my new year, you know, the list of 10 things of 10 I want to change, and I want to do this. I want to eat no sugar and I'm going to walk 20 miles a day. And at the end, if I've gone 1 week without ice cream and walked 2 miles, it's good.
I feel your pain. I know. It's so hard. And I feel like that about family life. In fact, I have to be honest. Sometimes when I read online suggestions for family prayer, they make me break out in a cold sweat because I know what my own life is like. And I don't think the intention from the author is to burden the readers with these standards. And perhaps their children are levitating, over the altar. I don't know, by locating already. I mean, I'm just hoping that my kids are not belting each other in the middle of family prayer.
Amen.
So it helps me to just be a little bit more, not low key, because prayer is fundamental to our,
absolutely.
You know, it is so important. I don't ever want to deny that. But I hope more than what I say, my kids see what I do with prayer. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes we Catholic parents forget the power of our witness.
Absolutely.
In prayer. So
that's, I have a young adult son who's kind of, you know, in that moment of life where he's walking away from the faith, but I really hope that our example, and we remind him that we weren't faithful at his age either, but that example of what God is doing, I always try to tell him, like, oh, you know, when something good happens to him, like, oh, I can't believe the Lord blessed you in that way. Speaking of being blessed in that way, Colleen Duggan, it was wonderful spending this half an hour. Can you believe how fast it went by?
It went super fast. You were right.
I believe you. And I know that you have, some wonderful things happening, and we're going to have you back as soon as those things come to fruition.
Awesome.
I'm looking very much forward to more time with you in the future. Thanks again for joining
us. Thank you so much, Allison. I really enjoyed it.
We have been talking with Colleen Duggan. You can read more of Colleen's wonderful writing on Colleen Duggan. That's DUGGAN.net. I'll have that for you in the show notes. When we come back from these messages, we're going to pick up with another of the co-authors here of the Catholic Moms Prayer Companion, out now from Ave Maria Press. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media, and we'll be right back.
Yeah. You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. We're featuring The Catholic Mom's Prayer Companion, a book of daily reflections out now from Ave Maria Press, of which I am so honored to be a co-author. And I have been sharing with you some of the other co-authors this week. We just finished up with Colleen Duggan, and now we're going to talk to Roxanne Solonen. Roxanne, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me here today. It's exciting to be a part of the launch of this special project.
And we're so grateful for your time and for your writing. I really enjoyed all of it. We're going to share a little bit in the next segment. But first, I'd like to get to know you a little bit better. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, I live in Fargo, North Dakota, so kind of in the heartland, and it's a pretty amazing area. We have a strong Catholic community here. I feel very blessed to be amongst such a people of God, and strong Catholic schools. I have five kids. Three of them are in Catholic schools. A couple are making their way into the world, and I started a newspaper, in secular newspaper, and right now I actually write for our daily newspaper here in Fargo, Forum, and I write about faith. So it's a really great way to kind of widen the net. My heart is a Catholic heart, but I try to, you know, just fling that net out to everyone and try to just shine the light of Christ and that Catholic Christian way of living, and just bringing that light back into the world, because it's been diminished. And I've gotten a really nice response from people for the columns that I write every other week, and then the feature story that I write about faith. So it's a great gig.
That is really neat. Now, is that available online for people who aren't from North Dakota?
Yeah, it's called inforum.com. And so every Friday, usually my stories are webbed. So every week a story comes out, and it's usually filled with hope. And it's a great thing for me to have to look for those great stories out there and to sit with people and hear from their hearts, you know, and to give them that opportunity to open their souls and not just kind of skim the surface, you know, but to go deeper again, you know, it's a secular publication. So I just feel so blessed that God opened that door.
What a neat opportunity. And I'll have the link for that in the show notes. Now, how did you come to become connected with CatholicMom.com?
You know, I was thinking about this last night, because I go to adoration at 11 p.m. on Wednesday evenings. That was
nice.
The time frame that worked the best and didn't kind of interfere with my family. And I just love that time with God. And so it always helps me prepare for things like this. So I was thinking back to when I started years ago, and I can't remember the exact time frame, but what I do remember is we were still on dial-up for getting connected to the internet when I started writing for Lisa. And I just remember she was so generous back then. She couldn't offer any pay or anything like that, but I remember she sent me a T-shirt. That was my pay. And I just, it's been years. I mean, my daughter's just started college today, and I think it was probably around the time when she was a baby. So I don't remember how long Lisa's been having founded this, but it was very early on that I connected, so.
That is so cool. Yeah, I'm kind of a newbie. I'm 2012, which I felt like was a really long time, but not when you look at it that way. That is so cool, Roxanne. We're talking this morning with Roxanne Solonen. She is one of the co-authors in the new book out from Ave Maria Press, The Catholic Mom's Prayer Companion. We've been featuring it all week. It's co-edited by Lisa Hendy, who was my guest on Tuesday, and by Sarah Reinhardt. As you know, she's here every month to make us laugh. We'll talk next month when she's back again about this wonderful book again, The Catholic Mom's Prayer Companion. So I've been asking everybody, Roxanne, this week about their prayer life. You talked a little bit about adoration, which seems to be a common thread through all of the guests this week. I absolutely love adoration. I never grew up with it. I didn't know what mm-hmm. it meant to even go to adoration. And again, that's adoration is what we talk about when we go to a chapel or a church, and the Eucharist, which we believe as Catholics is Jesus, body, blood, soul, and divinity, is in a beautiful gold holder, which is called a monstrance, though my kids call it a monster, and it's hard sometimes for me to remember to call it a monstrance. And we just spend some quiet time. We believe that, you know, when Jesus is present, heaven and earth collide, and there we are in that quiet, that beauty of sitting in heaven. And so adoration seems to be a really big part of it, of all of our co-authors' lives that we've talked to this week. But there's also that time at home. And so I'd like to know a little bit more about your mm-hmm. prayer life apart from adoration.
Yeah, I spend most mornings that I can with the Magnificat. And mm-hmm. sometimes now that my kids are a little bit older and out of the home, I even will sing out loud. I'm a singer and I'll pray out loud. I don't know why, it just, you know, it was years that I didn't have that quiet time, and I had kids around, and it's really hard when they're little to find that time. You have to find whatever little time you can. But now I feel like this time has opened up, and it's so helpful, and I can feel the difference when I don't have that time in the morning. It just doesn't feel quite right. And there are times that I have to sacrifice it. On Wednesday mornings, I meet with a group of mothers down at North Dakota's only abortion facility and pray. And sometimes I can't quite get in my whole little routine, you know. I have to yep. find other ways to do it. But prayer, that's another thing, too, that ministry, praying downtown at our abortion facility. I found needs a lot of prayer. Wow. It has to be covered with prayer before I ever get there. It has become very contentious downtown. The more we've showed up, the more escorts that help the women go into the clinic have shown up, and it's a spiritual battlefield. So yeah. I wouldn't be able to do it without feeling covered in prayer and knowing that God is going before me and that He brings peace, and mm-hmm. that's what we're there to do too. And without Him, we can't accomplish His work. So prayer is just, it's such a bedrock, and it's mm-hmm. our communication with God, and it's really everything. I'm so grateful. I you know, when I first, speaking of adoration, when I first started going, it's kind of an odd thing, because like you, I didn't grow up at all with it. I had never heard of it, and just slowly was introduced to it, and I would just kind of pop in here and there, and mm-hmm. at first, I just remember one of the first times going, okay, really? Is that Jesus? Like, it's just like a round
piece.
You know what I mean?
Roxanne.
It's just like, immediately I was like, this is kind of strange. But then it just kind of takes over. And now it's not even a question. And if I ever have anything pressing, I fly. I fly to the Adoration Chapel. I mean, that is the place to be, to get centered and grounded and just let God do His work.
My church is on the way to the mall. And so there are days where I think, now I've made time to go shopping, but I haven't made time for Christ. So even if it's not an adoration time, we have a chapel separate from the church, but my pastor leaves the doors of the church open all the time during the day. Mm-hmm. So even if, you know, Jesus isn't out in the monstrance, I know He's still there. He's in the tabernacle. And even if it's just mm-hmm. 5 minutes on my way to the mall, I find that there's just such a peace that is truly beyond all understanding when I step inside the doors of that church and just be quiet for a minute with Christ.
Yeah, I don't know if you've ever had this experience, but there are times that I've wanted to just crawl into that first pew or whatever and just kind of go to sleep.
Yes.
and just rest in God's arms. I mean, there's no more peaceful place in all of the world than to know you're at the feet of the living God. Yeah. You know, I mean, everything comes into right perspective in that place. And I wish more people would know about it. I do talk about it quite a bit and just pray and hope that everyone can experience that oasis of that life-giving place where we all need it. It's such a busy, crazy world, you know?
We absolutely do. And I've been in the Adoration Chapel with many of people resting in the Lord, I call it, as they start to snore from their pew. And I think that's what they need at that moment. And some of our spiritual greats, St. Teresa of Avila, St. Teresa of Lisieux, they both talk about falling asleep in adoration. And what a beautiful place to do that. And how, as a mom, I'm sure you've had this experience where you love your children the best when they're fast asleep. That's when they're not in trouble.
So. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so. Our priest, when he trained it, we have a little training every fall for adoration for those who haven't done it before and kind of a refresher. But one of the first things he said was, absolutely, like, go to sleep. It's fine. And sometimes I feel like I'm too busy. Like, I do a lot of writing, reading, you know, and sometimes I just, it's nice to just put it away too. But I'm glad he gave us the permission. And my adoration partner is a physician who has 9 kids, and he often falls asleep, and I just think it's precious. I'm so happy that he has that little reprieve, you know. So
it really is. We're talking this week about the Catholic Moms Prayer Companion. My guest for this half of the show is Roxanne Soladin. We'll be back with more with her. One of the things I really like about this Catholic Moms Prayer Companion, as Lisa Hendy, co-editor, talked about yesterday, was the size of it. Like, it's the perfect size for sticking in your glove compartment, in your, I have an adoration bag, though it's getting smaller and smaller as my technology gets more and more useful. But I really love the feel of a book. I love to write in it. I love to make notes and to remind myself year to year where I've been and where God is taking me. Such a gift. Again, the Catholic Moms Prayer Companion, a book of daily reflections, perfect for bringing with you to your adoration hour or 5 minutes. We're talking about prayer this week. And when we come back, we're going to look at some of Roxanne Soladin's beautiful reflections. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. And we'll be right back.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. We're talking this week about a new book, a new wonderful book, a prayer companion special for women. But we learned with Jeff Young yesterday that men will also find something in it to help them journey in their prayer life. And you don't even need to be a mom. You can be a spiritual mom. You can be an empty nest mom, as Lisa Hendy talked about. It's the Catholic Moms Prayer Companion, a book of daily reflections out from Ave Maria Press. And we're talking this week with some of the co-authors. Right now we're with Roxanne Soladin. And Roxanne, I want to jump into your reflections. The first one was on February 27th, and it's a really beautiful, moving account of your father's last moments. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, I just am so grateful that I was able to be with him. I live 3 hours away from where he was at the time in the hospital, declining after an illness and kind of some early beginnings of probably Alzheimer's. And I had a couple days with him as he was declining and really couldn't talk. And my dad was a pretty proud guy. And the last time I actually talked to him when he was still alert, he was out of the room because I think he was in the hospital and kind of feeling vulnerable. And he just, I'm sure as a proud dad, it was hard for him. And that was the last time we talked. I was being shooed out of the room and I just went around the corner and was so sad. And then the next time I saw him, he was laying in bed and couldn't move and couldn't, you know, was just at the end of his life. And yeah. So, but I spent a couple of days with him just to lay there, pray over him, do the Divine Mercy Chaplet, sing, find some of his favorite songs on my little iPhone and play them for him. And it was beautiful. And then my sister had kind of come in and out, and she ended up staying with me that last night before she almost left. I just have one sister. She's a year older than I. And I convinced her to stay. And about 45 minutes after we kind of said we were going to go to sleep and we were kind of curled up in his little tiny room, he took his last breath and we were right there. We were holding hands and released him to God. And there was a tear on his coming out of his eye. And as I mentioned in the reflection, I don't know if that was a scientific thing that could be explained, you know, in scientific terms. But for me, it was a message from him and of his love for us. One thing too that I don't write about is my sister and I sang for competition in high school a song, Let Not Your Hearts Be Troubled. And we did very well at state competition. And we got to sing that to him the night before he died. And it's
you, like, Roxanne, you cut out.
Back.
I'm just going to ask you to repeat what song it was because you cut out right at the name of the song.
Oh, okay. Let Not Your Hearts Be Troubled. And, you know, it's interesting because we sang it together when we were 16 and 17, and then we were able to sing him to heaven with that same. And I think that his cheer was a thank you for that, too, just the gift of our love and his love for us. So,
it was,
you know,
when I read it, it was a beautiful reminder that the tears aren't always out of sadness, that they're also the joy, you know, like the joy that you brought him as his daughters, the joy of entering, you know, into that eternal reward. And we pray, like that's part of why we pray when we're with the dying. And you'd mentioned the Divine Mercy Chaplet. And I think one of the greatest honors I've had is being at 3 o'clock hour or even just in the room at any time during the final hours of my father-in-law's life, my step-grandfather's, and praying that chaplet for them and asking God to have great mercy upon them. And with my father-in-law, I prayed it, and after I prayed it, I don't know whether you're supposed to do this or not. I don't know if it's theologically okay, but I don't really care. I did it anyway. I said, you know, when this is over, please let us know, you know, that just like, give us some peace in our heart that you're okay. I'm not going to go to a medium because that's just, I know that's definitely not. But I know that, you know, there's such a thin veil between heaven and here, between purgatory and here. And I really wanted to know. And so I asked him for a very, very specific, he loved Tigger. And I said, you know what, just send me a Tigger. And I laughed and everyone in the room laughed. Like, and he was, you know, comatose at the time. I'm like, you need to send me a Tigger. Well, fast forward real quick. We were told to get pictures together for the, you know, the funeral, for the boards that we put up of his life. And there in the middle of all the pictures, I had no idea it even existed. One of my kids, when they were little, had taken a photo of Tigger on the television and it was in there. So I love that we're able to pray for our loved ones, especially. And I'm going to put in the link to the show notes to the Divine Mercy Chaplet if that's something new for people. It's so powerful. The next one I want to talk about was April 24th. You talked about St. Teresa Benedicta of the Cross, a.k.a. Edith Stein. And I'm going to put a real quick plug in here, going on a pilgrimage to Poland October 19th through the 20th, next year, 2017. Catholic Faith Journeys, if you want more information. Shameless plug. Now moving on. So you talk about seeking God in those moments where it just, you feel so dry or there seems like insurmountable is the word you used. Obstacles in your way of getting closer to God or in those moments?
Yeah, I mean, if I can just read this little bit that she,
please,
that I pull in from her. Whoever requires bodily rest should take a breathing space in her room. And when no outer rest whatever is attainable, when there is no place in which to retreat, she must for a moment seal off herself inwardly against all other things and take refuge in the Lord. He is indeed there and can give us in a single moment what we need. I mean, wow.
Wow.
You know, Edith Stein, St. Teresa Benedicta of the Cross, is known for her keen intellect and just amazing mind. But as I did some study on her and found these little nuggets, I just was so moved. And that has just, that image of being able to seal oneself off inwardly and that God will give you everything you need in that one moment. it's so powerful.
Oh,
and so I'm just so grateful for the wisdom of these beautiful women that have gone before us to give us these gifts.
Amen. One of the things I liked about the Catholic Moms Prayer Companion from Ave Maria Press, we're talking about it this week, featuring some of the co-authors, was that it has scripture, but it also introduced us to so many saints, or reminded us of so many of the beautiful saints and examples that we have. And St. Teresa of Benedicta of the Cross is definitely one of them. And I absolutely love the quote that you chose to share with us on that date. The last one I want to talk about before we run out of time today is July 24th is Cousins Day. That's the other thing I loved about the Catholic Moms Prayer Companion is she pulled in not only liturgical seasons and the Feasts of Saints, but she also pulled in, they also pulled in special days like Cousins Day. I have a cousin who is like a sister to me. I have a biological sister, and then this cousin who's like a sister, and then my other cousins are just I'm just cherish them. I absolutely cherish them. But in this reflection, you talk about your early life living on a reservation with your parents as teachers there. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, my parents are from North Dakota. They ended up teaching together on the Fort Peck Reservation. It's a Lakota and Assiniboine reservation. That's where I was grounded and grew up. It was a poverty-stricken area. I pray for that area in northeast Montana.
Yeah.
Lots of suicide, drug abuse, and just desolation. So that was my grounding. But yet there was such a richness of people. And everyone had cousins, and even if they weren't directly related, they were still a cousin. It was such a beautiful witness to me. And I just had one sister, and my cousins were far away. And I was so envious. I really saw that beauty of family and how important it was. And I really believe that that was one of the things that led to me being so open to the church's teaching on larger families. The fact, too, that my dad had grown up in a large family of nine children, poor in at the end of the Great Depression. But just seeing that evidence, even though they had so little materially, they had so much in their relationships. And so I just thought of that and thought of cousins and what that word meant to me and how special it is. And I just wanted to highlight that on Cousins Day. I thought that was great, too, that we could highlight some of those days that maybe we don't really think about as much, but to celebrate all these little things in life that are worth being joyful over.
It is. And I don't know about you, but when I got my copy of it, I went through all those special dates that were important to me. And it was just fun to discover some of the other things and those that happened on those special dates. But I don't want to run out of time before I find out, Roxanne Sullivan, where can we keep, do you have a blog? Is there some place you write besides CatholicMom.com?
Yep. My blog is Peace Garden Path.
I'm sorry. You have to say it one more time. You're cutting out today. It's Peace what?
Yep. Peace Garden Passage.
There it is. Peace Garden Passage. Well, is there anything about the book that you'd like for us to keep in mind as we're entering our last minute here?
Yeah, I just think it's so beautiful that there are so many contributors, and I think we all just have such a heart for God and for writing and for sharing our hearts with others. And it's impossible for this book to be diluted. Each of us took such great intention in finding those nuggets that we wanted to share with the world. So I just think it's going to be a blessing, not only to everyone else, but we're actually blessed by it too as the writers and contributors. So it's just a huge gift, and I'm just grateful to be a part of it and hope it blesses many.
Amen. There's 80 plus of us praying it every day. Of course, we know it's going to be more than that because most of us got at least one friend to purchase it alongside. Thank you, Roxanne Solonins, for spending your time with us this morning.
Thank you, Allison. I appreciate you having me. God bless you.
Thank you. We've enjoyed talking this week about the Catholic Moms Prayer Companion. The show notes will have how you can purchase your copy. You've been listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.